we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Brevard, here we go. It's Friday. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing. It's a day off for us tonight. We're going celebrating my daughter graduating from college and entering a new adventure in her life. And I'm just so thankful for all of my kids. They all love God and serving Him. And very, very thankful for what God is doing in our family. And so lots of exciting things on our horizon. So we want to say thank you today to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. The number you can reach them at is 632-9538, 632-9538. They go all throughout the county, whether it's a air conditioning situation or electrical problem. You probably, your heater's not in high demand right now, but give them a call, 632-9538. And if you call them, let them know that you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. We do want to say thank you because a little over a week ago, when I had an opportunity to talk to Carla there, she said, "Hey, I just want you to know that we had a phone call today. They said we listened and heard about you on the Refresh Radio broadcast." So the number to reach them is 632-9538. Now, if you've been a customer of Wyrick Air for a long time, please write down that number, 632-9538. There are some older stickers out there that might have a different number that would not get you to the place you're actually trying to get to. So 632-9538. And Carla and Dennis will get you set up and fixed up. They will take good care of you, and you will be cool as a cucumber this summer. So thank you to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric for their support. So we're going to get into Isaiah chapter 5 again this morning. We talked about on yesterday's broadcast the things that God had done in preparation for a fruitful harvest, and that instead of getting good fruit, he got forth bad fruit. So we're going to be talking about that in just a moment. Do want to invite you out to our services this weekend. Sunday morning, we have Sunday school at 9:30. We have our worship service at 10:30. And then Sunday night at 6:30, Pastor Craig, our youth minister, he is going to be bringing the word that night, and he and his wife Sharon are doing a phenomenal job in the children and youth ministry, and he's bringing that tonight bringing that message on Sunday because of all of the activities we've got going on with our graduation this weekend. So really excited about what God is doing. They are preparing to go on a 2-month long missions trip here and beginning in the middle of June, and this year we're sending out about 10 individuals on our missions trip. Really excited because that is a record number of people that we have been able to send on missions trips for the sole purpose of bringing the gospel wherever they go. So we're thrilled about what God is doing. So let's get into Isaiah chapter 5. We would like to invite you out to be a part of everything that God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. Check us out, merrittassembly.com. You can get more information there. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 3. "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold oppression, for Christ, for righteousness, but behold a cry for help. And so God begins to ask here in verse number 3 about what could he have possibly done differently. Now, I will tell you this. I believe that one of the things that happens when you are a good parent, when you are a person of authority, and people under your authority or under your care are not responding the way that they should, that one of the things that you do is you first begin to look at yourself and say, what did I do wrong? What did I do that caused the outcome to not be like I thought it was? I don't know if I'm talking to any parents out there, but you may have had an opportunity to ask yourself questions like that before. As a pastor, one of the things that I have come to realize is I have to tell parents that you cannot beat yourself up. That if you are providing good spiritual counsel for your kids and they hit a season where they're not living right, it is okay to evaluate. It's okay to look back and see if there needed to be some adjustments made in your technique. And for you and I, those adjustments are probably going to be found. There are things that we could do better. With God, that is not the case. God is a perfect God. He is a perfect father. He is a perfect husband, if you will. He does everything in perfection. And so when he is evaluating what is going on here with his vineyard, he asked the question, what could I have done differently? You judge, you decide, because my vineyard is not producing the way that it should have produced. What could I have done differently? Now, let me go back to the parenting thing just a moment. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. A friend of mine told me, he said, it says that when they're old, they will not depart from it. He said, but it doesn't talk about that middle stage much. And, sometimes we don't all always make the right decision. So it is okay to evaluate, but I want to come along and bring healing to some parents today and say this, don't beat yourself up over it. Don't, repeatedly punch yourself in the face saying it's my fault, it's my fault, it's got to be my fault. The same could be true if you are a boss or if you're a pastor. Not every relationship works out in a perfect manner. And so you have to evaluate, you have to look at yourself. In fact, I encourage you to look at yourself in the mirror first, but you have to realize that just like God here in his vineyard, that sometimes you could be doing things to the best of your ability. You could be doing things right and get an undesirable result, not because of anything you did, but the fact that God has given to men and women a free will, an ability to choose and decide, and sometimes people make wrong choices. Even Christians can make wrong choices and they can behave badly. And so you do have to reflect. Now, several years ago, a long, long time ago, I had a person, I left my office, I went down, we had our Sunday night service, and I came back up after the service and I found that there was a note taped to my door. It was a person telling me what a horrible pastor I was and what a useless human being I was. And it was just the most encouraging note that you ever imagined in your life. It was just encouragement personified, encouragement to quit, encouragement to do all sorts of things. And it was hardly edifying. And I want you to know what I did. I took that letter and I read it. That's how come I can tell you what was in it, is because I read it. And I prayed over it. And my prayer was this: God, you see the words that are on this page. And God, what I would like to ask you is if there's any merit in this, because I need to know, am I reaping or are they sowing? I need to know what is going on, God, because if this is something that you see in me, then I am more than happy to make the corrections. But if not, your word says that an undeserved curse does not come to rest. And so I need your perspective. And so the temptation, there are two temptations that can lead to error when it comes to dealing with criticism. One is you can reject it right out. Bam. You can just throw it away, consider it meaningless, and just say, who are you to criticize me? And that can be an error, because sometimes we can be deceived, we can be blind to some of our own errors, if you will, or our own weaknesses. The other thing is to carte blanche believe everything that is written about you. And I can tell you that if I had done that when I was told that I was worthless and I would never be of any value to anyone spiritually, that would have been devastating if I just believed that. But you know, I had a pastor that I had grown up under, and he said, don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. And so right now, some of you may be listening to this broadcast, and you have believed what other people have said about you. You have believed what the devil has told you, and you have been living your entire life believing a lie from the pit of hell that you are worthless and that it's all your fault. And today, I'm not asking you to just carte blanche believe me. I'm asking you to take the situation to God in prayer and allow him to reveal anything that is a weakness in your life, and everything else to discard it. Get it out. Don't have anything to do with it anymore. Don't embrace it. Just file it away in the trash can and move on. Because God says, judge between me and my vineyard. What could I have done? And the reality is you couldn't have done anything differently. And then God says this: and now please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. And it is this: I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain on it, or that they rain no rain on it. Yesterday, as I was writing, as I was reading this, and there was something that God added to it, and it was this: it is scary, not when God is doing the pruning and the refining, like in the first part of chapter 5, but it is scary when we have demonstrated our lack of fruitfulness and our lack of faithfulness, and God says, I'm going to do nothing on your behalf. That's scary. Listen to what he says. I'm going to take away its hedge, and it shall be burned. You know, it talked about in verse number 2 that God would clear it out of stones. And in early America, the way that they got the materials to build their stone walls were they were preparing the land for to be able to sow crops in it. And whenever they would come across a rock, they would take it out of the land and they would carry it over to the wall. and they would build their rock wall out of it. That is how they established their perimeter. And God says, when you have demonstrated that you are not going to bring forth the fruit that I want you to bring, he says, after I have put all this effort in, he said, I'm going to take away the hedge of protection and you are going to be susceptible to fire. You see, that hedge might, that stone wall, it might not keep all of the animals out, because a lot of animals can jump and they can climb on the walls and stuff like that. But it would have served as a barrier of protection against any type of fire. You know, back in those days, you couldn't call the fire department and say, hey, I need you to come. I've got a fire going on in my house right now. You had to put a barrier up. If you had anything of value, you needed to make sure that there was something there that fire could not destroy. And he says, I'm going to take away its hedge and it shall be burned. What I'm telling you here is, this is scary when God begins to do this in our lives. And break down its walls and it shall be trampled down. You see, that barrier protected the crops. It protected the crops from being beaten down underfoot. I've been in some cities, and I'm not going to name them because I don't want to offend anybody who might be listening, but I said about a community one point in time that a long, long time ago, there was a dog that was chasing a rabbit, and that rabbit was running through the brush and all of that, and pretty soon there was an established little path there that chase had come along. And then a little while later, a man came on by on horse, and he started following that path as well. And then a little bit later, there was a horse and buggy, and they said, well, this is the path of least resistance. And then a little while later, they said, you know what, we need to build roads, and look, we got a path that's pretty well established here. Let's just build this road according to this path. And that's how some of our city streets came into being, as they just did that. I'm from a city where everything was laid out in a north-south grid. You could tell by a person's address where they lived and how you could get to there. And some of these cities I cannot drive in without a map or a GPS device. Lakeland was one of those towns. Orlando was one of those towns. I'm not from here. Now I've flown over it in a plane enough to realize that the reason that they can't do that is because of so many lakes that they have over there. But it's like, oh my goodness, it's really crazy how some of these directions of roads go. But back to our dog chasing the rabbit. If they were running through the field, they would trample the crops, and there would be not even no good grapes. They wouldn't be producing wild grapes either. It says, I will lay it waste. Now remember, we're talking about the scary things that happen when God is not working in our lives to bring us to a place of fruitfulness. It said, it shall not be pruned or dug. Okay. That digging would be a protection against weeds coming in and choking it out. If God's not doing that, then eventually the fruitfulness is going to go away. It shall not be pruned. I believe it is a scary thing when God is not taking away the unproductive aspects of our life. I don't know about you. God's challenging me to be more fruitful in my latter years than I was in my earlier years. Here's the thing. I can't work as hard in my latter years as I could in my younger years. There was a guy in my church. He's been a faithful member of Merit Assembly of God for over 2 decades. He's always been younger than I am. He's always going to be younger than I am. And his motor runs. And so even though we're not going as hard as we once did, he still outworks me. I'm slowing down, he's slowing down, but he still keeps up that pace. But there are things in our lives we're saying, you know what? I don't have time for this anymore. I don't have time for this distraction. I don't have time for that distraction. when was the last time God pruned you and cut off something in your life that wasn't fruitful? He says, now when that happens, there's going to be briars and thorns. We had a new family that joined the church in February, and they came down from up north. Now, up north, they have nice, soft grass, and you can walk in it and all that sort of stuff. And so their kids are running around down here, and no shoes and all of that. And I said, now I need to tell you about sand spurs. Sand spurs are, if one of your kids gets a sand spur, they're not going to want to run around barefoot anymore. Those thorns hurt. Briars hurt. I mean, there are some thorny type prickly plants that I have been involved in Oklahoma, and they are painful. In other words, it causes it to be an undesirable place to go. If God has withdrawn his pruning activities in your life, in my life, if he has removed the hedge, and now anybody who wants to can just come and trample us underfoot, you are going to find that there are going to be thorns, and that's going to make you and I undesirable people to be around. Everybody who comes near us is, I mean, it's going to be painful for us. It's going to be painful for them. That's not what God wants for us. And God says, I'm also going to command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. Now, here's the thing. You cannot produce grapes without rain. You can't be fruitful without rain. Without rain, men starve to death. We don't have food to eat. We don't have water to drink. We need the resources for heaven. And so God says, this vineyard that I'm talking about is not an actual vineyard. It is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. In other words, this is the covenant people of God. And it says, here was my expectation. Here was the fruit I was looking for, the good fruit. I was looking for justice, and I was looking for righteousness. And guess what? God is still looking for us to deal with people in justice and righteousness. Not according to our feelings, not according to anecdotal evidence, not according to situational ethics. He's looking for us to do what is right. He's looking for us to treat people the same, no matter what their skin color or their bank account looks like. He's looking for us to deal with people in justice. Now, here is my take on where we are as a society. Right now, we are looking for special caveats in dealing with people's sin. And hear my heart. If we do not deal with our personal sin issue, if I had not dealt with my personal sin issue, I would have died in my sin, and I would have spent eternity apart from Jesus. And there is no special dispensation of things that are contrary to the Word of God to which that truth does not apply. And so please hear my heart today, that when we bring up the things that are displeasing in God's sight, we are not trying to be mean. We're not trying to be cruel. We're not trying to condemn anybody to hell. What we're saying is, without repentance, we are lost. And it would be an injustice to you. It would be an injustice for anybody, for us to not deal with people's sin and them die in their sin. You see, if God has positioned us as a watchman, then that means that whenever we see the enemy, that we are supposed to say, hey, the enemy is attacking. And God said, if I've positioned you as a watchman and you do not cry out when the enemy is coming, then I am going to hold you responsible for the defeat and for the bloodshed. He said, but if you will cry out, even if people do not listen, then you will be clear of your responsibility. You will have done your duty. And so instead of justice, what did he find? He found oppression. And instead of righteousness, what he found were people who were lost and miserable. And they were crying out for help. Now, here's the thing. They weren't crying out for help the way that God wanted to help them. They were crying out from relief from their misery without having the responsibility that God wanted them to bring forth the good fruit. Okay. Please recognize that your greatest need, my greatest need, is Jesus Christ being the Lord of my life. And if he is Lord of my life, he is going to make sure that the physical issues are dealt with, that the financial issues are dealt with, that the relational issues are dealt with. He's going to take care of all of the other areas of attack. And so if I will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he promises that everything else will be added unto us. And so I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you. If you're going to cry for help, don't try and dictate the terms that you will receive the help on. I see people that hold up signs and it says hungry, you know, normally it says veteran, God bless, anything will help. And, some of those people may take food that you have to offer, but, a lot of times I've offered them food and they said, no, thank you. I'm not hungry. And it's like, well, you're holding a sign up that says you're hungry. Says, well, I'm just looking to buy, I'm on a special diet. Well, that may be. We won't discuss what that dietary item might be. But let's cry. If we're going to cry out for help, realize that God is the one who says, this is the way, walk ye in it. See, the Bible says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And God doesn't want that for you. God, this morning, I pray that we would not reach the place where we no longer want your activity in our life or in our society. God, it is a dreadful thing when you are not involved. I pray today, God, that if there's any who have done their own thing or gone their own way, that Lord, today that we would cry out to you for help, and Lord, that you would restore us to the place where we can seek your face with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God bless you. We'll see you next week right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away.
away to purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on?